If you misuse my gift, I will come back and use other magic against your people. I've placed my trust in you to do right. Do not fail my trust. Duchailu averted her eyes. She gave a little sniff.
I will do right. I will use your gift, as you say.
She tucked the whistle into her dress.
Thank you for helping to bring peace to my people.
That's my greatest hope, peace.
Peace,
Sister Verna huffed. She directed a smoldering glare to Richard.
You think it's so simple? You think that after 3,000 years, you can simply decree that the killing will stop? You think all it takes is your mere presence and the ways of people will change? You are a naive child.
Though the crimes of the father do not pass on to the son, you have a simplistic way of seeing things that brings harm just the same. If you think, sister, that I would be a party to human sacrifices for any reason, you are seriously mistaken.
He started to turn away, but then turned back.
What harm have I brought? What killing have I started?
She leaned toward him. Well, for one thing, if we don't help ones with the gift like you, it will kill them as it would kill you. How do you propose we get those boys to the palace? We can no longer cross the Majin Dai's land.
She glanced to Duchailu.
She has only given you permission to pass through her land. She has not said we may bring others through.
She straightened.
Those boys will die because of what you have done.
Richard thought about it a moment. He was exhausted. Using the sword's magic had wearied him as it never had before. He wanted nothing more than to sleep. He didn't feel like solving problems or arguing. At last, he looked to Duchailu. When you make peace with the Majin Dai, before you let them plant once again, you must add another condition. You must tell them that in honor of the killing being brought to an end, in honor of the peace, they will let the sisters cross their land.
She watched his eyes a moment before she finally nodded.
Your people will do the same.
He narrowed his eyes at the sister.
Satisfied?
In the valley, when you struck down a beast, 1,000 snakes sprang forth from its corpse. This is no different. It would be impossible, she said, for me to accurately recall all the lies you've told today. I've reprimanded you before for lying and cautioned you not to do it again. I told you not to swing the axe today, and you did it anyway, despite my warning. I can scarcely tally all the commands you've managed to violate in this one day. What you've done has not finished the killing, but only begun it.
In this, sister, I am the seeker, not your student. As seeker, I have no tolerance for human sacrifice.
None.
The deaths of others are a separate issue. You cannot use it as a link to justify murder. There will be no compromise in this. And I don't think you want to punish me for stopping something I would wager you wish had been stopped long ago.
The muscles in her face relaxed. As a sister of the light, I have no power to change things, and under obligation to save more lives, I had to uphold what has been for 3,000 years. But I admit I hated it, and in a way I'm glad you have taken it out of my hands, but that does not negate the trouble it will cause, or the deaths. When you put the Radahan on, you told me that holding the leash to that collar would be worse than wearing it. Your words are proving true. Her lower eyelids filled with glistening moisture.
You have made my greatest love, my calling, a misery. I am past wanting to punish you for your disobedience. In a few days we will be at the palace and I will at last be finished with you. They will have to deal with you. We shall see how they handle you when you displease them. I believe you will find they are not prepared to be as tolerant as I have been. They will use that collar. And when they do, I also think they will come to regret holding your leash more than do I. I think they will come to regret trying to help you, as do I.
Richard put his hands in his back pockets as he stared off at the thick forest of oak and leather leaf. I'm sorry you feel that way, sister, but I guess I can understand it. Although I admit I have fought being your prisoner, what happened today was not about you and me. This was about what is right. As one who had wished to teach me, I hoped you would share that moral stance. I hoped the sisters would not want to teach the use of the gift to one who could easily bend his convictions to the circumstance.
Sister Verna, I was not trying to displease you. I simply could not live with myself if I had allowed a murder to take place under my nose, much less if I had participated in it. I know, Richard, but that only makes it worse because it's all one and the same.
She unclasped her hands and peered about at the fire and their supplies, finally pulling a cake of soap from a saddlebag.
I'll make a stew and bannock. She tossed the cake of soap to him. Duchailu needs a bath. Duchailu folded her arms in a huff. While I was chained to a wall, the dogs who came to mount me did not offer me water so I would smell pretty for you. Sister Verna squatted down, pulling supplies out.
I meant no offense, Duchailu. I simply thought you would want to wash the dirt of those men off you. If it were me, I would want nothing more than to try to wash the feel of their hands from my flesh.
Duchailu's indignation faltered.
But of course I would!
She snatched the soap from Richard.
You smell of that beast you ride. You will wash too, or I will not want to be near you and will send you off to eat by yourself.
Richard chuckled.
If it will keep the peace with you, I'll wash too.
As Duchailu marched off toward the pond, Sister Verna called quietly to him. He waited next to her while she pulled a pot from a saddlebag.
Her people have been killing any magic man they could get their hands on for the last 3,000 years. There is no time to give you history lessons.
She looked up to his eyes.
Old habits spring to hand as easily as a knife. Don't turn your back on her. Sooner or later she is going to try to kill you.
Her quiet tone unexpectedly raised bumps on his flesh.
I'll try to keep myself alive, sister, so you can deliver me to the palace and at last be free of your onerous charge.
Richard hurried toward the pond and caught up with Duchailu as she was walking through the reeds.
Why did you call that your prayer dress?
Duchailu held her arms out, letting the breeze ruffle the strips of cloth on her dress.
These are prayers.
What are prayers? You mean the strips of cloth?
She nodded.
Each is a prayer. When the wind blows and they fly, each sends a prayer to the spirit.
And what do you pray for?
Every one of these prayers is the same, from the heart of the person who gave me their prayer. They are all prayers to have our land returned to us.
Your land? But you are in your land.
No. This is where we live, but it is not our land. Many ages ago, our land was taken by the magic men. They banished us here.
They reached the edge of the pond. Puffs of breeze drew up ripples in dark patches. The bank was grassy with thick patches of rushes to each side, extending out into the water.
The magic men took your land?
What land?
They took our land from our ancestors.
She pointed in the direction of the Valley of the Lost.
The land on the other side of the Majendai. I was going to our land, with our prayers, to ask the spirits if they would help our land be returned to us. But the Majendai caught me, and I was not able to take our prayers to the spirits.
How will the spirits return your land to you?
She shrugged.
The old words say only that we must send one every year to our land to pray to the spirits, and if we do, our land will be returned.
She untied her belt and slipped it to the ground. With unsettling grace, she tossed the green-handled knife aside, sticking it in the round end of a branch on a log.
How?
She gave him a curious frown.
By sending us our master.
I thought you were the Baka Banmana, those without masters.
She shrugged.
Because the spirits have not sent us one yet.
While Richard was puzzling over this, she reached down, took hold of her dress, and pulled it over her head.
What do you think you're doing?
She frowned.
It is me that I must wash, not my dress.
Well, not in front of me.
She looked down at herself.
You have already seen me. I have not grown any different since this morning.
She looked up at him.
Your face is red again.
Over there, he pointed. Go on the other side of the rushes, you on one side and me on the other.
He turned his back to her.
But we have only one soap.
Well, you can throw it to me when you're through.
She came around to the front of him. He tried to turn again, but she followed him around, grabbing at his buttons.
I cannot scrub my own back. And it is not fair. You have seen me, so I should see you. That is why you are turning red, because you have not been fair. This will make you feel better.
He slapped her hands away.
Stop it!
Duchailu, where I come from, this is not proper. Men and women do not bathe together. It's just not done.
He turned his back to her again.
Not even my third husband is as shy as you.
Third? You have had three husbands?
No. I have five.
Richard stiffened.
Have?
He turned to her.
What do you mean, have?
She looked at him as if he had asked if trees grew in the forest.
I have five husbands.
5 husbands and my children.
And how many of those do you have?
3. 2 girls and a boy.
A wistful smile came to her.
It is a long time since I have held them.
Her smile turned sad.
My poor babies will have cried every night, thinking I am dead. No one ever returned from the Majendai before.
She grinned. My husbands will be anxious to draw lots to see who will be the first to try to give me another child. Her smile faded, and her voice trailed off.
But I guess a Majendai dog has already done that.
Richard handed her the soap.
It will all turn out fine. You'll see. Go, bathe. I'll go on the other side of the rushes.
He relaxed in the cool water, listening to her splash, waiting for her to finish with the soap. A mist thickened over the pond, stealing slowly, silently into the surrounding trees.
I've never heard of a woman having more than one husband. Do all the Baka Banmana women have more than one husband?
She giggled.
No, only me.
Why you?
The water stopped splashing.
Because I wear the prayer dress,
she said, as if it should be self-evident. Richard rolled his eyes.
Well, what does...
She came swimming through the rushes toward him.
Before you can have the soap, you must wash my back.
Richard let out an aggravated sigh.
All right. If I wash your back, will you then go back on your side?
She presented her back to him.
If you do a proper job.
When she was satisfied, she finally went back to get dressed while he washed. She told him over the chirp of bugs and the trill of frogs that she was hungry. He was pulling his pants on while she called for him to hurry so they could eat. He threw his shirt over his shoulder and ran to catch up with her as she headed toward the smell of cooking. She looked much better clean. Her hair looked like a normal person's instead of a wild animal's,